We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sal's on our Western hotline, which brings happiness and joy to my life.
Yes,
he does. He's joining us right now, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Are you
Sal,
a Ren and Stimpy guy, Sal? Yeah.
No, I knew what it was. I didn't really watch it.
Yeah. All right.
Sal, you were the guy that got the answer out of Trey White, just asking about the decision. And when he started to give his answer, I mean, it's a Zoom call, right? So, I mean, everyone's kind of reacting in their own area. Like, what were you feeling in that moment? Like, whoa.
Total shock.
You probably weren't expecting it when you asked the question.
No. The way the Zoom calls are set up, we are told, like, hey, you're first up, or, you know, you're next or whatever, so that everybody knows when they're going to get unmuted and they can ask. I happened to be first yesterday. I'm usually early on because I get into the Zoom calls early and, you know, put my name in the queue. I happened to be first yesterday, and I figured, okay, I'll just get it out of the way. You know, why are you playing? Because that seems to be the top of mind question to everybody, you know, right now, because we have opt-outs around the league. And I was honestly just expecting a normal answer. I'm playing because what? You know, I love football.
The game. Yeah, right.
You know, the game, my teammates and all that. And when Trey said, I'm still undecided, like literally those were his first three words. He said, honestly, I'm still undecided. Those were his four first words. And boom, from there, the whole press conference essentially changes, because now you have to follow up and ask him why. And, you know, now there's more questions. People are talking about it nationally because he's such a prominent player. I was taken aback, but it was interesting. And, you know, obviously I'm glad I asked now, but I simply asked what would be a normal question to almost anybody, just like we asked Stephon Diggs when he came on later in the day.
I thought he was listening to him, Sal. First off, I thought he explained himself extremely well. His thought process and everything going into it. And I said to Jeremy, I don't know if feel sorry is the right term, but I can empathize. I mean, to me, he clearly sounds like he's really torn by this decision. Clearly, he wants to play football. He loves playing football. He's on what we think is going to be a really good team. But you hear him talk about his family, his 11-month-old baby, both of his kids, you know, the health factor, the safety factor. They're down there. They're all alone for the whole season. I can't see them. It was, you could, I think, get a very good appreciation if you did not have one of what the players are going through, especially those with families when they try and figure out whether or not they should play.
Well, I think that generally, and in normal cases anyway, too many fans, not all fans, of course, I think too many fans see professional athletes as numbers and chess pieces, basically, right? And just moving around, and they're just, you know, I don't know, not really humans, just there for entertainment value and things like that. And you don't see that human side, right? You know, a lot of times you'll get a chance to do that, especially, you know, when a player is a little bit more open about, you know, his family on social media or in interviews or things like that. I think yesterday kind of brought that more to the forefront for Tre'Davious for a lot of people. And I will tell you, I'm not unique to tell you that as a media member, all of us in the media have seen that from Trey. Tre'Davious White, since he got to Buffalo, has always been a very big family man, family first. He's always had, he has two kids. He always, his other son, not the 11-month-old, he's been on the field with him since pretty much the day. I think his wife might've been pregnant when he was drafted, or right around there, like right after had his first child, is somewhere around there. And I always remember like them being together all the time, and his little one being around him at training camp or whatever. Tre'Davious has always spoken about being a family man first. He's always posted stuff on social media. So this is not a surprise that he would be thinking about this to a lot of us. I think that to a lot of people who heard that yesterday, though, it brings it to the forefront of how much these guys are regular human beings like everybody else with families. They just have jobs that are a lot different than most people.
If he doesn't play, Sal, if he opts out by the deadline today, let's start with a bigger picture first on the overall defense. What is the impact overall on the Bills' defense this season?
Well, I mean, obviously you take down your, you take away a number one corner on any defense, it's going to be a massive blow. I think for the Bills, you know, on top of the fact that, you know, come on, I mean, when EJ Gaines opt out, people are like, oh, well, you know, he doesn't play anyway, he gets hurt, how much, I don't know if he would have been a factor.
Yep.
Like, a guy like that matters now, right? Because now you have to look at your depth. It would be different if they had EJ Gaines. Not that he's a savior or anything, but now you need depth. Now you need to have bodies. If Tre'Davious White's not going to play, you're looking at probably Josh Norman and Levi Wallace. And who knows? Maybe Josh Norman can recapture what he was essentially in Carolina or close to it. Probably not, but if he could, that would be a big help. But oh my gosh, now you're going to start really having to think about, you know, what does he have? And what if he's nothing like that? What if he still can't get out of the rut he's been in Washington the last couple of years? He'd have to start. You have Levi Wallace starting on the other side, who struggled at times last year. That's why, you know, they brought in more competition for that. That's truly like an open spot anyway, as it is. And then beyond that, guys, I mean, obviously you have Taron Johnson in the slot, but Akeem King was just signed. He has experience, but he's really more of a special teams guy. And then it's nobody who's ever played a down in the NFL.
Yeah.
Dane Jackson, who's on reserve COVID-19, a draft pick. Ike Brown, who was an undrafted free agent who just came off the reserve COVID-19 list. And Cam Lewis, who was on the practice squad last year. So that would be it. They would have to literally, Brandon Bean would either have to decide if he wants to go out and make a trade to bring somebody more impactful in, or search the waiver wire and the free agency pool to bring in more bodies to make sure he has healthy competition to find somebody.
Having said that, what do you think, what would Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier have to alter or tweak the scheme, the philosophy, or could they still take the same approach they would take with their defense?
Well, I think the only thing you change is Tre'Davious White has been the guy who's shadowed the other team's best wide receiver over the last half of last year, basically, right? But the scheme really doesn't change. They've had the same scheme, and they're going to keep the same scheme. I don't think that, you know, the scheme doesn't revolve around Tre'Davious White. He just adds a lot more elements that you can add to it and be able to play with it. So, no, I don't think they change the scheme on the defense whatsoever. The scheme is the scheme, and they're going to run what they run. But if you have Tre'Davious White, it makes it a lot better for them to be able to match up, and I think that would be the difference.
Hey, by the way, Sal is with us. If you have any Bills questions, of course, phone lines are always open. You can bring in a question with Sal right now by calling 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. One of the things,
I mean, just back to your question there for a second. I think that the best way for people to think about it would be, what if Tre'Davious White played game one and got hurt and he was out for the year? I mean, you're not going to change your entire scheme for 15, you know,
no,
the next 15
but
games.
I guess
right. That's not what that happens. You know what I mean?
You know, you wouldn't have the ability to say this guy, he's going to shadow that other guy. You'd
correct.
Have to account for that. I don't know if it affects the safeties at all or linebackers.
Sure.
Would there be I guess it was more about how do you cover for not having the ability to say, we're not even going to worry about that number one wide receiver because our guy's got him.
Yeah, I think, Howard, that, you know, they're already a pretty heavy zone defense, you know, so they would still play a lot of zone. And I just don't think you have that one guy. Now you probably play more of the left-right stuff, you know, on corner that you have for the last few years. And, you know, the safeties have been really good and together for a while. So they've done a lot of great jobs at disguising things. You can move them up and down and, you know, you can rotate your coverage and things like that. I think they would stay primarily a zone defense. You just don't have that one guy that's truly, hey, if you can lock down and you can put Tre'Davious White on Odell Beckham, that really frees up other guys to be able to do some other things, which now you just don't have that luxury.
What did you take away from the Stephon Diggs call? I did want to bring that up at some point before we finish the segment with you.
You know, I think that he was soft-spoken. You guys kind of talked about that a little bit. You know, he didn't come off as any sort of diva, as people, you know, maybe have made him out to be. Maybe some people have. But we heard that he's kind of more of a soft-spoken guy. He's not really somebody who's boisterous or anything. I took the fact that he's very serious about his craft.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is a professional who wants to be immersed in a part of what's going on in Buffalo or wherever he was, whether that was in Minnesota or Buffalo. You know, he, as you pointed out earlier, he made a point to say he wasn't vocal about trying to leave Minnesota. He did have the one tweet, you know, but it wasn't like it was something that was in the news every day, that he was demanding a trade, anything like that, and that he wants to go about his business and help this team as best he can. I mean, he was even asked about, you know, are there enough are there enough footballs to go around? The funny thing was, you know, so the question was basically, are there enough footballs to go around between you and John Brown and Cole Beasley? And then he made a point, go, hey, look, there's other guys too. It's not just us. There's Dawson Knox. He called him Mr. Stiff Arm.
That was
there's
funny,
Devin Singletary. Right. He made a point to say, yeah, there's going to be enough because we got lots of people, not just the people that you mentioned, and I'm just going to do my part.
It's funny. There were a couple things he said that made me laugh. One of them was the Knox thing. And the other, I forget what the question was. Perception
about the Bills
or something.
Them?
Yeah, it's like about the perception of the Bills or maybe coming to an organization that had been down for a long time. And he basically said, I don't know, we played him and there was a beatdown. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, he said that a couple times. They put a whooping on us or something like that. It was kind of funny. But he said that was his perception. Basically, like, I don't know much about the Bills. I just know they beat us really good. And he's impressed with Josh Allen. He says he was impressed with him that day in Minnesota that the Bills beat him. And, that he appreciates, you know, how that they've been able to kind of get together as much as they can here. But obviously, they have a lot more work to do.
That's the best way to make a name for yourself, Sal, is to win, right? Like, you talk about Diggs saying that. There was also a video of Ezekiel Elliott talking about Josh Allen saying, Josh Allen's a beast. And that probably comes from he was standing on the sidelines and watched him play on Thanksgiving and thought, like, wow, all right, respect, you know? Like, it's as simple as that. Like, how do you do it? It could be with some stats. It could also be with just, yeah, he came to where we play and he was part of a team that beat us and beat us pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, him saying his dream, like you pointed out, Josh throws it 100 yards and I'm at 101. I think he's had an appreciation for Josh's arm, too, being able to, you know, to even say something like that, being able to have an answer like that. So, yeah, I thought Stefan was good and honest, but yet soft-spoken and, you know, seemed to fit in really well with the kind of players we're used to hearing in Buffalo, you know, if that makes sense. You know, if I want to say the Bills' DNA, if you will, and the process, he even dropped in a process in one of the answers, by the way. But he kind of fit into what we are used to hearing from a lot of Bills players.
We'll grab a call for Sal here, 803-0550. Mike in Lakewood, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm a huge Trey White fan, and any player that opts out, I'm not mad at them. I'm more frustrated with the situation. But do you think that in him talking to other players, there's any concern that if he opts out, he may influence other players to opt out?
I think these conversations are happening in every locker room. I think every single locker room has players who are trying to decide. They know they have a deadline today at 4:00, and they're talking amongst each other. So I don't know if I would put it as, you know, somebody be influenced by it, but I'm sure those conversations are happening in every single locker room around the league. And there are players on the fence, maybe just like Tre'Davious White. There are players who have decided already that they're playing, just like Stephon Diggs, who said, I'm all in to play. I'm ready to play football in 2020. So I don't know if you would call it influence, but I guarantee you there are conversations amongst players in every locker room around the league.
So you have a little trivia you want to get to, Mr. Capaccio? Is that right?
I have instant trivia. It's Trey White related. Do you guys want to
try you know
it?
What? Before you do that, I forgot.
Yeah.
You made the comment. Can I just tell you, since he's gotten here, based on some of the videos and things the Bills have tweeted out over his time, Trey White, I've already learned he looks like a really cool teammate. But I got to tell you, I mean, his call yesterday was good because of how he explained everything and how thoughtful he was with everything. But he just seems, His energy, his personality, his attitude, he seems to be such an infectious guy. I got to tell you, he must be a whale of a teammate and a whale of a friend. Every time I hear this guy talk, and this, you know, the Goalie Academy and the funny videos, he's such a great guy. He just seems like a great, great guy.
Very approachable in the locker room. He's always willing to just kind of chat with you, talk football. He loves his LSU Tigers, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There have been times where it's been a little different. Remember against Cincinnati at the AJ Green game and he didn't speak afterwards. He was very upset on himself and, you know, he apologized to the media the following week when that happened. He takes his craft again very seriously. He wants to be the best. I think he believes he's amongst the best, obviously. The contract situation we didn't even talk about, you know, just so people know, he said that, you know, he's not going to negotiate out of, what was the word he used? Out of
fear.
Desperation. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, he didn't want. He's not going to negotiate out of desperation. In time, that will come. He's not worried about it. So I know that people are wondering if this is a contract play. I don't think so. I think that's obviously, you think about the financials. Every decision any of these guys make they have to include the financials in some way in their head about what's going on. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Howard, he is a fun guy to talk to, be around. And, you know, when he's at his locker, he's the same way as what you see, you know, here.
Cool.
And what you saw on the Zoom call. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what you got?
Okay, guys. So over the last decade, since 2010, 10 years of Bills football, Tre'Davious White ranks third in interceptions on the Bills.
Since 12. Since when?
10. Since 2010.
2010.
Last
okay.
10 years of football. Last decade. 2010 through 2019. Name the top 10 interceptors for the Buffalo Bills from 2010 through 2019. Tre'Davious White is number three.
I'm as confident as I've ever been with one of these.
Ooh.
Jairus okay. Byrd.
Mm-hmm. He is number two at 13.
Good pick.
Okay. Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
He is number one with 14. You have one, two, and three.
Drayton Florence.
He is number eight with six. Everybody and the last three guys all have six. That's the lowest number.
The lowest number is six. Kiko had like five in 5 weeks, did he? And then he kind of stopped.
Kiko did? Yeah, yeah.
Kiko,
but that
yeah.
was
so,
you're right, you're right. Yeah. He's not okay. on this list.
Right.
Jabari Greer.
That's too early.
We're not talking about.
I just
want
to throw in a Jabari Greer reference.
Okay.
Again, like
2000 to 2020 blends in my world.
I totally agree. I'm always
sorry. I apologize.
How,
it just
about,
always blends in.
How about this name? Just because I want to throw this name out there, Bakari Rambo.
No. He's
what
not
about you know
list.
What? Micah Hyde. Does he have six?
Yeah.
Micah Hyde is number eight on this list. Oh, he is on this list. He has eight. He has eight interceptions.
Oh, eight.
Yes.
Jordan
he's
Poyer.
Sixth on the list. Jordan Poyer. Yes, believe it or not, Jordan Poyer
both
has
guys.
11 already. He's
jeez.
Fifth.
Wow.
He's tied for fourth, actually. He's Gilmore, Byrd, White, and then Poyer and this other guy you haven't gotten are tied. The guy that we're talking about, that I'm talking about here, probably played the most.
Whitner played into the decade, right? Wouldn't Whitner have
played
into the decade?
Who's that?
Whitner played into the 2010s, right?
He's not on this list.
Okay.
You got Gilmore, Byrd, White, Poyer, Hyde, Florence. You're missing one, two, three, four guys. One was a former first-round pick.
Leotis McKelvin?
Yes.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Poor Leotis. Sorry, Leotis.
He's tied with Poyer with 11. Okay, now you got one. Or you need one here that's that you should get. If you think about it, you'll get it. He switched positions early in his career.
Aaron Williams.
What did you just say a minute ago?
I forgot. George Wilson, but he wouldn't have been
He is on the list.
He is? He wasn't too early?
He is number... He has six. Now,
see my previous comment about 20 years blending together. Sorry.
Now, right. He may have bridged the decade.
The decades.
But
yeah.
He is from 2010 through 2012. He had six interceptions in 3 years.
Wow. Senator.
And then you're missing one guy. He was kind of a hybrid player. He played a safety linebacker type of role for a few years in Buffalo. He was at an event we did down at Hotel Lafayette, I think it was, with Eric Wood. Do you remember?
Jim Leonard.
No.
Nice guess, though.
He went to Penn State.
Paul Pazlowski.
Oh, Brian Wilson.
Brian Scott.
Brian Scott.
Brian yeah. Scott.
Man, I wouldn't have guessed him. Yeah.
Gilmore, Byrd, White, McKelvin, Poyer, Hyde, Aaron Williams, Drayton Florence, Brian Scott, and George Wilson, the top 10 interceptors of the Bills over the last 10 years.
Yeah, keep Hyde and Poyer around here longer, please. That's a good idea.
Poyer will be. He signed that extension.
Yeah, he got the extension, right? All right, Mr. C, thank you as always for your time, sir. I know we have the deadline today. Any Zoom calls or anything else that we should be aware of on the schedule
we
today?
We usually get those we
later in the morning.
Once the Bills kind of know their schedule, we'll know.
Very good.
You know what I mean? I'll look right now as I'm on with you. I don't see anything right now. But, you know, once we know any players today, things are a little fluid right now. So, you know, once that happens, we'll jump on it. And I'm sure, you know, Brayton... if we can carry it. We'll put it on demand, obviously. And then we do have the deadline today. That's the thing that everybody's going to be talking about and wondering about, and we'll keep everybody updated on that.
Very good.
Two things when we get back, Sal, you're going to want to listen to both of these. One,
okay.
I have the odds. There are odds on a potential Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes throw-off.
Yes, I tweeted them out.
I was going to save that for 9 o'clock.
Okay, well, since you guys are in that case, Howard picks the Bills next without Trey White.
Sal.
So if you ever want to know how important Tre'Davious White is, we have that to figure out.
Sal,
Tre'Davious White just had a tweet. I'll read it to you. It says, crazy that me choosing my family's well-being over a game comes with so-called fans attacking and questioning me and saying I'm selfish. No, you guys are selfish for thinking that football is bigger than life. Oh, by the way, my girlfriend's father passed from COVID. Do you understand now? That's from Tre'Davious White just a moment ago on Twitter.
Yeah, if I was a professional athlete, I just would never be on Twitter. I just wouldn't want to deal with some of the people that are out there on Twitter. Can you text me how many wins do you think he would cost the Bills so I could help me pick the Bills when we get back, please? Just send me a number. Just, you don't even have to do it publicly.
You're the authority, Howard. We're about to find out.
Were you?
Yeah, he's at 11 and 5.
11 and 5? So text me what I should do, if you don't mind.
I'm not going to do that. You don't get any help from me. No answers from me, pal.
Wow. Thanks, Sal. Have a nice day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.